Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jackson looking to throw, floats one out there, likely is in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
A struggle in the red area. You see Likely coming out there almost if he's going to block Fitzpatrick, and then runs right by him. So
it's a play fake. Wilson throwing end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Michael Pruitt hauls it in. Steelers win. They win the division. Ravens win. They're in the playoffs and keep their division hopes alive. Here's Wilson again. Oh, and this big seam there. Wilson going to take off. Look at him go. Inside the 10. Russell Wilson decked inside the 5. Ball comes out. Who's going to grab it? Ravens have it. Third and 8. Jackson going end zone. It is caught. Bateman. Touchdown. On the fake. Go back the other way, and that's caught. Look at this screenplay. Henry trucking through people down to the 10. Jackson zips it over the middle, and it's caught for the touchdown. Mark Andrews for 6.
And you just felt like at some point it would break open for him.
Jackson. And it's intercepted. Minkah Fitzpatrick has it. The All-Pro cutting back, looking for a home run. Oh, what a big play. Play fake. Wilson, pressure. Has to get rid of it, and that's picked off the other way. Marlon Humphrey, pick 6.
Just running a naked bootleg, and Russell's exposed. And he tries to flip the ball out to Pruitt, and behind him is Humphrey. And he is not dropping that. Gets pressure by Owe, and he knows it as soon as he let it go.
Bob, you never want to be exposed on a naked bootleg, do you?
Yeah, naked bootlegs. I mean, depends on what you want to.
Well, yeah.
What a way to start the show.
Exposed, maybe some do. I don't
naked,
know.
Naked, yeah. Bootleg.
Yeah.
All in the same
I don't
sentence.
Know. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine. How are you today?
You look wonderful. You have a Sirixon hat. You're dressed for golf. Are you playing indoors today, later today?
No. Okay. I'm not. I just, a lot of golf swag I like to wear because I don't wear it nearly as much as I should, because that doesn't mean I play as much golf as I should.
The important point being, you look wonderful. At least 10 years younger than you are, still, maybe 20.
I give you credit for wearing that Sabres hat. They are just now.
What is it, 12 in a row now?
12 in a row, yeah. My goodness.
That's my good luck charm, although I'm having a lot of bad luck, so I don't know why I'm wearing it. Limits, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, guys. It's great to be here.
It doesn't sound like it. What's wrong?
Bob, does something sound wrong?
It did.
No.
I'm over the moon. I'm very happy right now, other than the Steelers lost.
Why?
I was at the Penn State playoff victory.
Oh, for
that
a Penn State
a
guy,
fun.
This was a
was
giant
a good,
weekend.
Was a great
I watched
weekend.
The volleyball team win a national championship.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Oh, that's more
and
like
now
it,
Andrew
Limits.
Andrew McCutchen is coming back. I'm feeling great, Joe. What do you mean?
Well, why don't we hit on that right before we get to Steelers, even after your wonderful opening, because that's breaking news even in the moment. Bob, your thoughts on McCutchen returning, because I have several.
I'm a big fan of Andrew McCutchen, what he's done, what he represents, face of this franchise in many ways over the last several years. But when it comes to being a designated hitter, and I think that's pretty much what he is it the same deal, 1 year, $5 million, basically?
That has not been announced yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same. But this is, to me, not a nostalgia tour if you're trying to be competitive. And, you know, it's the same thing that the Penguins kind of went into, and I understand all of it, don't get me wrong. It's just that to me it represents, if you're trying to upgrade at a position that you need a lot of offense, I don't know if he fits the bill. And I say that with all due respect for what he's done. I'm not trying to in any way, but I said, you know, you get to a point where I want to see some guy. I want to see Pete Alonso's. You know, I want to see somebody who's going to hit 40 home runs as a designated. If you're going to play that game, that's the way you should go. Now, having said that, Andrew McCutchen is a wonderful person. I'm glad for he and his family. They could be here if they want to be here. But if he's in the lineup every day, Joe, I don't know if that's a good thing for the Pirates.
Bob, I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just said. I thought we might have a differing of opinions here. I love Andrew McCutchen. Who doesn't? He's given his heart and his soul to the city, and he's one of the rare guys for that franchise who actually wants to be here and never wanted to leave, and God bless him for that. But at some point, you have to move on from this. And the fact that this happens on the same day that Joc Pederson goes for 2 years and $37 million to Texas. Now, there's a guy who is a slugger. Who you put in your lineup.
Coming off a great year, by the way.
Yeah, and he plays against righties, and you stick him in your lineup as a DH, and there you go. McCutchen had an okay year, but if the is he going to be their full-time DH? If the best you can do at this point is, how old is he at this right now? 38?
Yeah, 36? 37? 38.
Okay. He hit .232 with a .739 OPS. It's not bad. It's okay. But the other thing is, when guys get to this age, you want to sort of cut it off a year too soon rather than a year too late. And it happens on the same day that Joc Pederson goes, a real slugger, at $18.5 million a year.
Which is perfectly affordable. That's exactly what they should be looking for in that position.
Perfectly affordable. And I can't help but read this almost as a distraction from the fact that they've done nothing. Nothing. And they have Paul Skeens, and they allegedly are going to have a great young pitching staff, and they've done nothing to help a joke of a lineup. And this is what you're going to give people? I don't know. I don't know, Bob. I'm not a big fan of it. I am a big fan of McCutchen, but there comes a time, as the great Neil Young once said.
And you're right. They haven't done anything to help their lineup. What are they waiting for? I mean, there are free agents out there. If you wait and wait and wait, you're going to end up with the same kind of free agents you've ended up for the last several years.
It's as if they're saying, well, we're not going to give you much or anything, but we will give you a guy that you love in McCutchen. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of this.
Well, I mean, I like that they are bringing him back because I feel like him being a part of just the culture and them trying to figure this thing out is all worth it. But I'm with you guys to a point where I don't want him to be the every single day DH. I'd rather it be more so like a 60-40 split with somebody,
yeah, but
whether it's Henry
by
Davis.
By him being on the roster, he has to get his at-bats, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. He can't play the field.
But who's he taking a roster spot away from?
Somebody
Alika
who
Williams,
you could have got
Brian
that's better.
Brian Cruz?
No, he's a DH strictly.
Somebody like a Joc Pederson.
Somebody you could have gotten that's a better DH.
Give me $20 million a year for a guy
thinking they would bring Joc Pederson in. I'm just not realistic.
Well, then they've gotten to your head. They're making you think that they can't afford it.
I would agree with that. I agree with
that. They're making you think that they can't afford. They can afford it.
So because it's not realistic in your opinion, you're willing to settle for an everyday DH who had an OPS of .739.
No, and he's striking out too much. I mean, his walk numbers are good, and he's occasionally is being able to still provide some pop. Could they find somebody better? I mean, when I look at the lineup that they put
yes,
out there
would
last
be the
year,
answer to that.
He was their third or fourth best hitter every single time out.
Well, that's an indictment of their lineup.
I agree. Are they just going to overhaul the entire thing? No. I want them to, but I don't think they will.
Okay, but you're okay with that. That's the problem. And that's why I don't like that. I'm trying to see what they're willing to do.
This is a pirate therapy session for
with
you.
They got a pitching staff that they know is a good pitching staff potentially. Go out and give it what it needs. And it needs offense. They don't have much of it to begin with. And so far, they haven't done anything. If you believe that Spencer Horwitz is fine, okay, fine. A lot of people do, and that's fine. And I hope it works out because I think he has potential there. But I also know that they gave up a starting pitcher who I think has been coveted by other teams to get him, and we'll see what it means. But I want to see bigger plays. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying go out and get a $300 or $300 million guy. What I am saying is you could afford $25 million a year for somebody.
18 and a half for Joc Pederson. 18 and a half he went to the Rangers for. You couldn't do 19. Couldn't even punch it up to 20. I don't know. And I love McCutchen. I
so
do.
We all do. I mean, he's, like I said, face of the franchise. Does everything right. brings great publicity here because of what he is, what he does, how he's involved in the community. His family's great. All of that's great. And it's no disrespect to him. What it is, come on, do better. Come up with some bats. And if he's on the team, fine. But then go out and get somebody to play, you know. Well, the first base answer, I can't even use that because they figured out their first base. I want a bat.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
As Keith Law said after that trade, the Pirates went into this trade looking for a first baseman, and they should still be looking for
one. Yeah, but in their minds, have they gotten him?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Yeah, their minds, that's the problem.
That's
you
the
just
problem.
Told him.
And they believe they have an answer. Now, they may or may not be right. And if they're not right, then they've, again, sacrificed a position that needs power.
And he did hit 20, but he also had almost 500 at-bats. So, you know.
I think there are a lot of other big pressing needs and problems that the Pirates have before Andrew McCutchen is high on that list.
I would agree. But, okay, how do you solve them?
I would disagree. They just brought back a guy to be their designated, and here's the key word, hitter, who hit 230 last year with a 739 OPS. Their biggest problem is bats. They just told you as a fan that this is their biggest offseason answer so far. Are you okay with that?
And do you think this Spencer
Are you Horwitz, okay with that?
That this is their biggest move? No, not at all. I mean, are you surprised that the Pirates promotional
Different
team is
question.
Trying to hype up Andrew McCutchen?
Different question.
Yeah, but after a while, that goes stale too.
Apparently not in their minds.
Well, again, a different topic. Totally different topic and different question. Then should you be happy with the Pirates going out and get Andrew McCutchen, and where does he rank among the team's list of issues? I want a big upgrade at designated hitter.
If this is their
a
biggest
big
move
upgrade.
In the offseason, it's complete failure. Because we all knew McCutchen was going to come back. They need a first baseman. They need an outfielder. They probably need somebody to play third base over Key Brian Hayes.
That's not going to happen.
Not, again,
no, it's not. And that's
they need
part
bats.
Of the problem, too.
They need bats. Big bats. He's not one anymore. So, all right, we move on.
Well, hopefully they'll bring in more, and then we won't have to worry about this conversation. But I just have this feeling that you're not going to get much else. The people who are left are people that are just, you know, the same kinds they've been bringing in over the years. And I wanted to see better with that. You only have so many years of Paul Skeens. Let's make it count.
Bob, you're on fire today. I co-opt or co-sign. Co-opt? Can I co-opt what you said? I co-sign everything you said. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. If you want to weigh in on that, please, at 412-928-9370. That's also the text line with our dear friend City Limits, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. But topic number one, as always, what is happening with the Steelers? What is happening, Bob? And I'm going to go into a three-part soliloquy first, if you don't mind. I'll keep it short.
I love that word, soliloquy.
I'm going to keep it short, but it's a three-part soliloquy, and it's designed for people who can hold more than one idea in their head, who can actually hold competing ideas in their head, like the idea that even though Russell Wilson lost the game the other day quite clearly, that his performance overall could portend better things ahead. Now, I know that's complicated, but we're going to give it a shot here, okay? A three-part soliloquy, Limits. Part one, it was the Browns game. Remember the free passes given out on this station by people who shall go unnamed? Pony? If you win that game, and how embarrassing it was that you lost it, you don't have all the worries you have today, do you? That wasn't a free pass game. That was a game you needed to win. The Browns haven't won since. The quarterback who beat you is now benched and may never start another NFL game. That game was an embarrassment. You win that game because it gives you a cushion so you can survive a loss to a better team, Philly, and survive a loss where half your roster's missing, Baltimore. That's why you beat the Browns. That's why you do that. Instead of lose to them with an idiotic decision looming large, which was to put your frozen quarterback in the game who hadn't thrown a pass in over a month, literally over a month. You might as well have thrown an ice statue out there. I know he had run earlier in the game, and you let him throw one of the biggest passes of the game when your red-hot starter, who went something like 22 for 28 that night, had just delivered a dime down the seam for a touchdown and was actually hot, which is the opposite of cold. No, you let Fields throw that ball. and then you didn't call Kevin Stefanski's bluff and made him either kick a field goal or go for it on fourth and two with time running out, which was the real point. You gave them more time to kill and then an easy decision, which was third and seven. You don't kick on third and seven with 2 minutes left. So Mike Tomlin completely butchered that game, and that's the one that could haunt them, not the one we saw on Sunday. And that leads to point number two, Bob. Did people think they were going to win on Sunday? You know, really? I get it. It was the Ravens. Part of me thought it might still be a curse. But if you actually looked at it, like Vegas did, and saw that TJ Watt was probably going to be compromised, their best receiver wasn't going to play, they were already missing half their secondary, including Deshaun Elliott, who's been great this year. Soon it would be three-fourths of their secondary. What's with all the hand-wringing and tears and rage over losing that game to the Ravens? They were a touchdown underdog. In the NFL, if you're a touchdown underdog, in order to win, it's practically the miracle on ice. They weren't going to win that game. They're not going to win any games if they don't have Pickens, three-quarters of their secondary, and a compromised TJ Watt. They'll lose out. So you better hope they get their players back. That game is impossible for me to judge. Everybody with a brain knew the Ravens were going to win and maybe win big. I had it at 26-14. And the third part of this soliloquy, Bob, is Russell Wilson's performance and my real thoughts on the Steelers' playoff hopes. It's never been about predicting the Steelers were going to win a playoff game or the Super Bowl or anything like that. Not the whole year. Not since Wilson came in. It's about, are they better than they've been? Do they actually have a chance compared to recent years? And the answer for me is still a resounding yes. And I actually look at that performance by Russell as confirmation of that. Two competing ideas. Everybody ready for this? Open your brains. One, he lost the game for them. There's no question about that. That's simply a fact. Two, his actual performance gave me hope that the Steelers are better than in recent years. He was spectacular at times. He pushes the ball down the field. He's one of the better intermediate to deep ball passers in the game right now through eye test and through statistics, if you want to look that up. So I looked at his overall performance and said to myself, I'm actually encouraged when I look ahead to the most important games by what Russell did. And he lost that particular game for them. Bob, I cede the floor to you.
Well, let me go back and talk about the game against the Ravens, because I, like you, did not think they were going to win. I, like you, think the Ravens are a legitimate team that can do a lot of damage with their offense first and foremost. You know, anyone in the NFL is going to have a hard time stopping Derrick Henry, number one. And they made it too easy up the middle. They were just gaping holes all over the place. He ran through them like,
a knife through hot butter, Bob.
A sports car with the work ethic of a truck.
Like Mulsey through a craft beer
house. He did, and it was easy for them. I think the Steelers are going to have a hard time with a good run game in the playoffs. But, again, to your point, they've missed a lot of people on injury. So I'm going to factor that into this. The Steelers-Ravens is always a good game. It's always a rivalry. It's always going to be hotly contested. But if you're asking me in the playoffs, a team I don't want to play, it's the Baltimore Ravens. I don't care where it is. I don't want to play them. A lot of people would say, no, you want to play them because you know how to beat them. Nah, this is a different Lamar Jackson to me. Anyway, with regard to Russell Wilson, I will share your sentiment that that performance cost them the game. He had two egregious mistakes, but the first one I'm not going to necessarily hold against him. I think he was trying to make a play. He saw the end zone. He wanted to somehow get in the end zone. Earlier in the day, watching a lot of games, you see Patrick Mahomes with a hobbled leg, knee, or ankle do the same thing. You could not have advised him to do it, but he did it anyway, and he got into the end zone. So I don't look at that as anything other than a guy trying to be too heroic. Should he have slid? Sure. I thought he should have slid mostly because I thought you don't want to get injured. He can't afford to be injured. He took a big hit. The fumble, okay. The defense had a chance to save him, and they didn't. They allowed a 96-yard drive immediately following that, so that's not good. But his performance overall, I think, was good. Take away the last one. It was a terrible throw. It was the worst throw he's made as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Ball guy, I don't know what the reason is, got away from him. I would have preferred him throwing it away or at least throwing it out so Pruitt had a chance to dive to get it. But don't throw it to where Marlon Humphrey is, and that's exactly what he did and nullified a Minka Fitzpatrick interception. So Russell Wilson played a good game. I can say that even with two terrible turnovers that cost them the game. So, the thing about this, going back, and I agree, those games against Cleveland or any games you're supposed to win, when you don't win them, they're going to come back to bite you. They always do. And it may be not so much it costs you a playoff spot, but it may cost you positioning in the playoffs. You may have to go a path that you don't want to go on because of the one game that you were supposed to win that you didn't win.
May cost you a playoff win.
Yes, it may. So overall, I think when healthy, and hopefully we're going to see a healthy team, I don't expect them to beat the Chiefs. Do you? I don't.
See, the Chiefs
I was hoping that Buffalo would lose yesterday, or lose so that that's over with. Chiefs then can decide, we won the division, we won everything, we have the number one seed. We don't need to play Patrick Mahomes in this game. Or if we do, it'll be just for a little bit.
I mean, they do have a two-game lead with two left, so.
Yeah, but they're still, that's
the
point.
Urgency,
if they lose, right. They go into Denver knowing they got to win. You don't want, if you're Andy Reid, to me.
If Buffalo wins twice, did you see
Buffalo's
them yesterday?
Buffalo's going to win.
You're sure about
yes,
that?
Yes, I'm sure about
Josh
that.
Because Josh Allen couldn't throw the ball at the end of the game. Looked to me like
they're
his hand was
win.
Hurt. And they stunk.
They're going to win.
Okay.
They stunk and they won. That tells you how bad New England is, and they're going to play them again, plus the Jets. They're going to win all three. That's what. Why I was hoping they would somehow lose so that this game would help the Steelers in that regard.
I actually can, to answer your question that you threw out. Is I do think they can beat the Chiefs, yes.
I think they can, but I'm asking you, do you think they will?
I haven't formulated a full opinion. My early week read is
if they make some of the mistakes they made in that Baltimore game, if they made the mistakes, a secondary, which is confused, I know it's still going to be
hampered. Yeah, give me healthy players in the secondary.
You're not
going to
have healthy players. You're going to have Joe. Well, he made it sound like Joey Porter may not play, and if he doesn't play, who's going to pick up that slack?
I'd rather have Deshaun Elliott, because Tomlin, first of all, wasn't telling the truth after the game when he said secondary guys don't have anything to do with the run game. What? Deshaun Elliott's one of the best run defenders in any secondary in football.
But guess what Pat Mahomes does? He moves that ball all over the place. Did you notice they have Hollywood Brown back?
Yes.
Yeah, they have him with Worthy.
The team that's getting healthy
is the Chiefs. They have him with Hopkins. They have him with Kelsey. They have him with Pacheco. They're all healthy.
All right, I'm going to predict the Steelers win. How do you like that?
That's fine. I may still do that, but I'm saying right now, based on how it looks, I wouldn't expect that, which means, you know, you're going to have to go to the final game of the year, probably having to beat. That's, you know, Baltimore can lose too, and if they do, the Steelers will win it. So there's a lot of options for the Steelers still to win the AFC North. And when they do, if they do, no one should complain that they backed in. I don't want to hear that either. This is a long body of 17 games. If you win the division, you win the division, period. And it should be celebrated as such because you get a third seed, you get a home.
A lot of people,
if they should lose their final four, but Baltimore loses to Houston and they win, so you go into an AFC North championship with four straight losses, I don't care. You're in there. Figure it out. Wait a second.
They still, if Baltimore goes 1-1, then the Steelers need to win 1-2.
Yeah, and the Steelers can't go 0-2 is what I'm saying. And I'm saying if the scenario happens that they lose to Kansas City and then beat Cincinnati, and they get in because Baltimore lost, not so much that
they won.
It's
about your body of work.
Right.
That's all.
But you know you're going to hear that. You're going to hear people say, well, they backed in this, they've lost this, they've, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. You won the division. But you're making yourself, to your first point about the Browns game, you know, that's a game that if you had to have back, it would make life a lot easier right
total
now.
Total embarrassment is what that game was. A total embarrassment to lose to a team that we now know was ready to quit, because guess what they've done since then is quit. You all saw them yesterday against the Bengals. They haven't won since that Steeler game. Jameis Winston lost his job. That was an abomination, and that could cost you. It could eventually cost you a playoff win by you having to go on the road. There's a lot of questions here, Bob.
Let me ask you the question. I answered my own question.
Yeah.
And that is, would you want to play the Ravens in the playoffs? Of all the teams you have to choose from. Not me.
Yeah, if you're healthy. Absolutely. They were ready to lose that game. They were ready to lose that game after Lamar saw a ghost again like he does every
time. That wasn't Lamar's ghost. It was a bad read by Bateman.
They were ready to lose that game, in my opinion.
Okay. I think if Derrick Henry gets going, that's a monster that you don't want to deal with.
If they give him
the
ball.
In my opinion, I would rather them not play the Ravens. I'd rather them be home to the Chargers, Denver.
Of course, yes.
Well, that was my question.
Your question was, what was your question? I don't know. Can
essentially,
they beat the
who do you want to see in the first round?
That's a different
if you
question.
Had choices of Denver, Chargers, Ravens, the last pick would be Ravens.
Yes, me too. I think that's obvious.
Okay.
Of course I'd rather play Denver or the Chargers than the Ravens.
You made it sound like Lamar Jackson has ghosts in his head that'll prevent him from winning any big game.
Because the way
sooner
you phrased
later,
your question was
game.
they can't possibly beat the Ravens, can they?
I didn't say
they
that.
Can.
I did not say that.
Go
what I said I didn't
question.
Say can't possibly beat. What I said
he
was it's a team I would not want to play against.
Okay.
That's all.
There.
I wouldn't want to play. That's the team I would. And you just confirmed it by you saying that, yes, I agree, it would be the third choice.
It would be the third choice. But you're making it sound like, oh, my God, a team I
wouldn't
want to
see. I didn't make it sound like
see.
That. I said, you asked me my opinion about who. I asked myself, who would I not want to see? It'd be the Ravens. That's my opinion. I don't think that's a good matchup for them,
even though they've had
success against them.
Who would you not want to see? So I don't know. I'm thinking I wouldn't want to see the Chiefs or the Bills.
Well, no, you're not going to see them. Of the teams
okay,
you have.
Okay, in the first round, you were saying, yes, I would definitely want to see the Chargers or Broncos above the Ravens.
Which is why you're confirming my thought.
Do I think a healthy Steelers team could beat the Ravens in the playoffs?
They could beat any team
away,
healthy.
Would have a good chance to beat the Ravens home or away? Absolutely. Why do I think that? Because they always do, except when half their roster's missing.
Okay. I'm just saying this is a different – I think Lamar Jackson's a different quarterback this year than he's been in previous years. And the only thing he has left to do is win in the big moments. He got to an AFC championship game. The expectations are extremely high. That pressure is there. It's real. It's tangible for him. Let's see how he answers it. But his season has made me think that he's ready to answer it. That's all. With a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield.
Possibly. I would like the Steelers' chances if they show up with Pickens and a healthy T.J. Watt. I really would. The Ravens were ready to lose that game, I think. And all it took for Lamar to finally have his good game against the Steelers was three quarters of their secondary missing and half of T.J. Watt. That's the way I saw it. Having said that, Bob, Russell Wilson is the order of the day at 412-928-9370. A lot of social media vitriol directed toward Russell Wilson. Did you get a lot of it on the postgame show on television?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's always that. And then it comes down to Tomlin. But I always tell people, did Tomlin make Russell Wilson try to go for the goal line and not slide? Did Tomlin throw that pass in the flat that was terrible? No, he didn't do that. Those mistakes happen.
Say the first one wasn't a mistake, and I agree with you.
To me, it's not one of those things I look at and say, oh my God, what a, he was trying to make a play. He saw the goal line. We've seen them before on first and goal not score or settle for Boswell. How many times? He saw an opportunity. Did he make a judgment call split second? Yes, he did. He thought he could get there. He didn't.
I agree with you 100%. So you don't think it was a mistake, and neither do I.
But the last one was. But my point
the
was.
The last one was.
The vitriol
obviously
comes after
the game.
Tomlin. They blame all these things that happen in a game.
This isn't the one that I didn't love everything Tomlin did. I put the Browns loss squarely on Tomlin. It was one of the worst games he ever coached in Pittsburgh, and it's coming back maybe to haunt
that game,
him.
Yes, that absolutely affected what they did.
But in this game, I think two competing ideas can both be in play here. A, Russell Wilson lost them the game. B, if you're asking me arrow pointed up or down on Wilson afterward, I say up. And maybe I'm the only one who thinks that makes sense, but I think it makes sense. I thought that he elevated a group of pedestrian receivers. He was able to elevate them in the game. He was moving around. He clearly still has the arm strength. He made some spectacular plays. Yes, it's a horrible idea to give the ball to the other team on a terrible pick six interception after your team just gained momentum. That's bad. We all agree on that. That lost them the game. I would agree on that. But his overall play, to me, their ability to push the ball down the field in chunks, as Tom Brady would say, gives me more hope for this Steelers team, certainly than a Kenny Pickett team, than a Mason Rudolph team, than a Justin Fields team or a late-stage Ben team. Maybe that's just me. How down are you on Russell Wilson at 412-928-9370? 928-9370. And the last point, Bob, is I've never seen, and I talked to an old-time Steeler this morning, and we were both laughing about it. I've never seen so much angst over a guy not lowering his shoulder at the goal line. So much angst over a guy lowering his shoulder at the goal line and trying to score. I thought that was the idea here, is you try to score. You lower your shoulder. There's only one guy to beat, and you try to score. You made a great point, Bob. Patrick Mahomes did the same thing earlier in the day on a high ankle sprain.
And he got nailed.
And if he gets hurt, they have no hope. And he got nailed at the goal line and he scored. You score points with your teammates that way. I guarantee you they're not upset with Russell Wilson. In fact, I guarantee you they loved it. The coaches loved it. That's trying to win the war and maybe not making the smartest, wisest, safest is maybe the best word, safest decision in game. But you're winning the war overall with your teammates. You're trying to be a leader. You're trying to get the ball in the end zone. Can you imagine if we had this conversation a million years ago, and this was the one I had this morning, with Terry Bradshaw? Oh, my God, why didn't he slide? He should have run out of bounds. He should have protected.
Franco got criticized on this anniversary date of the Immaculate Reception. How many times was he criticized for running out of bounds back then? Remember? Oh, be like Earl Campbell. Well, there was a self-preservation philosophy there that worked for Franco Harris. Why would you take extra hits for another yard, really?
Yeah, I mean, this to me is a little different because it was simply there's the goal line. I guarantee you, Franco.
No, I'm just saying
he was a running back, but you know what I'm saying.
To my point was those people would criticize Franco for doing it.
Where
it was in this case, I understand what was going on there, and again, he has to make a split decision. Thought, and there was also a potential block there that he may have been looking for. Again, it happened so fast.
I loved it. The other guy made a great play. He made a phenomenal play. Okay, I loved the fact that he lowered his shoulder and tried to score a touchdown. I thought that was the idea. I want quarterbacks like that. You think Josh Allen slides there?
Oh, no.
You think Ben slides there? I've seen games in the AFC North where he doesn't slide at the goal line.
No.
You think? No, I loved that. And he fumbled. Okay, so the world ends. The play he lost the game
again,
on is the interception.
You can also look at the corresponding response by their own defense. That ball's at the 4-yard line.
Right.
You can't get off the field. In fact, they made it look relatively easy in like 6 plays.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Malzie the Snowman.
Oh, Malzie the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a mountain nose, his favorite pitcher was Gerrit Cole. Oh, Malzie the Snowman. Here's a fairy tale they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzie danced around.
Oh, Malzie.
Bob, your solo has gone over big. The song is high on the charts and rising. Spectacular stuff.
It's in the Spotify top 50, I heard, Bob. How about that?
Can you put that on Spotify and see if they'll cut out the ending?
You think they're going to take it?
Yeah,
I think they would.
Bob Solo, we can all agree, was the stuff of legend.
It's right up there with Gene Autry and all the best. Sinatra's Christmas album.
Burl Ives. I mean, Bob, that was great.
Could you imagine? Thank you, Joe. Burl Ives tells the story.
You wrote the lyrics. The lyrics are the powerful thing. It has nothing to do with who delivers the lyrics.
Yeah, the oversized hat. I am proud of that line. Yeah. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, just tweets out, last minute MLB free agent holiday shopping. This encapsulates, I think, Bob and I's feelings perfectly. Last minute holiday shopping, New York Mets, Sean Manea, 3 years, $75 million. Red Sox, Walker Buehler, 1 year, $21.5 million.
I like Walker Buehler. I wish they would have gotten him.
Rangers, Jock Peterson, 2 years, $37 million.
All of them reasonable price tags for them.
Pirates, Andrew McCutchen, 1 year, $5 million.
And it's nothing against McCutchen at all. We've stated
that.
He is a legend.
Not at all.
And is one of the best ambassadors for Pittsburgh sports, specifically the Pirates, of course. But it's just if you're trying to upgrade your offense, you got to do better.
Yes. All right, Bob. We have 8 callers. Are you up?
I didn't know we had 8 lines.
I thought we only had six.
That's what I was trying to I said, holy cow, that's pretty impressive.
Are we up or down on Russell Wilson after that game? To some, that would seem like a silly question. I think Bob agrees that these two statements are true because I certainly do. That Russell Wilson lost the game for the Steelers, that's statement one. And two, his overall performance lent me anyway a little more hope that they could actually win a playoff game because he looked great. If you cut out the horrible, egregious mistake, especially of the interception, they need somebody who can get the ball down the field if they're going to win a playoff game. Get it down the field accurately, throw it down the seams, they use the middle of the field. Give me that guy with George Pickens and a relatively healthy defense, and maybe they can win a playoff game. I still have more hope, and that performance actually lent more hope to me. Bob, you agree? I think you agree.
I agree generally. I mean, the mistakes have got to be, you know, erased.
Of course.
If you do that, you're going to lose no matter who you play, no matter when you play. So, but the pick six was the terrible play of the day. The other one I could live with because he's trying to make a play. I understand why everyone's screaming slide.
You up or down on Wilson after that performance?
I'm the same. I've thought that he, of all the people they've trotted out here the last few years, he's their best chance to win in a playoff game.
Fair enough.
Because he's a professional quarterback who knows how to play in a game like that.
And I thought showed a little more spryness in that game.
After some of these calls, I want to ask you about that fourth down call.
We will talk about that.
Because, again, week after week, we have the same situation, different but same general thoughts.
Yeah.
And I think you might have a different opinion.
Let's hit the lines, oh limitless wonder, shall we?
What?
And by the way, I got you a Christmas gift.
I have a gift for you as well.
Mine's a re-gift, which I think are underrated and get a bad name.
Regift's okay, as long as you don't announce that you just re-gifted. You did that.
Well, he already knew it was a Penguins sweater, or a Penguins
You don't
scarf.
Need to apologize for your gift, if it's re-gifted or not.
I agree with you.
I moved heaven and earth to get Joe's gift.
All right, go to the lines.
It's going to be a long.
Now I feel horrible.
The long line of lists of things that I did to get his. Here is Emmanuel in Carnegie that starts us off.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, thank you for calling the fan. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. Hey, guys, I appreciate the phone call. Happy holidays, and I love this song. Every time I hear it, the re-edition of that song, it makes me smile. I'm up on Russell Wilson. I heard earlier, and I also did a research, that he is among the lowest in terms of turnover-worthy plays, quarterback passing. He's like averaging only 1.1. So what we saw in that fourth quarter was an aberration. But what we saw was the offense moving with fluidity, much better than the Eagles game. And that's encouraging,
yes,
to say at least.
That was
without
true.
Without picking. So I'm really up on it. Those circumstances that we played with, like I told people before, playing at the Eagles and at Baltimore, that's going to be harder than any other team that we might play in the playoffs until we get to the Super Bowl. So I'm up on Russell Wilson. Have a happy holidays.
Wait, are you predicting the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, no.
Me
neither. Buffalo is going to be tough, but I still think playing at Philadelphia without Pickens is going to be harder than playing at Buffalo because of the familiarity.
And that's, we all agree, that's why you win the Browns game against that joke of a franchise,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And that might come back to haunt us.
The only thing I'll say about that Eagles
Thank
game
you,
was
Emmanuel.
Disappointing. Thanks, Emmanuel. Is the fact that yesterday watching Jaden Daniels rip the Eagles defense apart made me think, why couldn't the Steelers do more of that in that game?
Yeah. Me too, although it's also fair to mention they had like two possessions the entire game, you know?
Right. The defense didn't stop them.
Yeah.
I mean that's a concerning part of it. We're talking a lot about offense.
Sure.
But their defense in the last 2 weeks, I know,
yes,
it's been injured. But you're going to have that.
Well, you're not going to have three quarters of your secondary out.
My point is, if
you're hoping they can rectify that and beat somebody with three quarters of your secondary out and half of TJ Watt out there, it's just not going to happen.
No, I know that.
I have a lot of trouble analyzing that game from a defensive perspective.
They have guys, they're big on this next man up, man. If you're available, there's so much confusion.
I mean, that's nice to say, Bob, but it's not realistic.
I understand that. But you're going to be judged accordingly. That's how it's...
I'm not actually judging them accordingly.
Well, if you lose in a playoff game, no matter how they lose, it'll be judged accordingly. When it all fades away, it'll be another year.
I'll make you this promise. If they show up in Buffalo or Kansas City or even in Baltimore in the playoffs with a compromised TJ Watt, three quarters of their secondary out and George Pickens out, I'm not sure if I'd go so far as to issue a pony free pass, but I'd come darn close to it.
Ooh, okay.
412-928-9370. Who's next, oh limitless wonder?
Let's go to Nick in Sacramento.
Hey, Nick, what's up?
Merry Christmas to you guys.
You
Merry
too.
Christmas, fellas.
All right, Nick.
Thank you. You too.
So I guess I get to have to ask, and we're talking about the Steelers stuff now. I think Russell Wilson, I don't blame him. I think he had a bad game. Okay, horrendous. Yes, I guess those two picks. But, you know, the biggest thing I have a hard time with is the predictability of this team with Arthur Smith every game. There has to be something in that playbook. There has to be something that they can, like, devise, or maybe even improvise or put in there.
What in particular that you don't like?
I don't like every game that we start out, when we start out with the same scenarios of we run the ball and then we do these little simple dunk passes on the flats. Why does Pat Freiermuth disappear?
That's true.
I agree with you there.
Nick, to your point there, okay. At the end of the game, he's throwing to Michael Pruitt and not Pat Freiermuth. I don't get that.
Plus, Bob, you mentioned the fourth. Was it fourth and six?
Yes.
A fourth and six? Freiermuth, yes. Give him a 50-50 ball.
That's what Kelce does.
That's what he does. He posts up and wins them.
You get the line of scrimmage and you get it and you move on. They went up in the air down the field and Austin was open there for a little bit and the ball hung up too high. But go ahead.
Now, gentlemen, also, if I can interject with this, defensively, it takes – I know I'm not a professional athlete, nor am I trying to be, or a coach, whatever, but there's arm tackling, there's getting stood up. Now, I know that Derrick Henry is a bulldozer. I get it. But anyway, we can't continue to arm tackle, reach. We have to make these tackles. I mean, they're just simple plays that were – it's what's causing the extension of these plays. Like the third and 12s, the third and 13s, that's been our...
is annoying. That is annoying, and they didn't have that problem all year.
Yeah,
is Patrick Queen a good run defender?
I think he is, yes.
I'm not so sure about that.
I think that if I look at the totals in that game, I expected more than 8, 4 solo, 4... They're going to run up the middle, and that's what Baltimore did exactly. They went after the middle of the field. Maybe they had Patrick Queen in
mind. Is Keanu Benton a good run defender?
I'd have to look deeper into it.
I'm going to ask Hokie to break down. I want Hokie to break down this tape and tell me.
Well, he does all of that. He watches a lot of tape, so he can tell you gaps and no gaps and what's going on.
Maybe no Ogunjobi hurts. For sure, no Deshaun Elliott hurts. He is an elite secondary run defender. That's a fact. He leads the team in solo tackles. Some are down the field, but he also has a bunch for loss. He was really good in the first Raven game with a couple big plays. And then the other side of that coin is Derrick Henry's unbelievable, Bob. There were at least half a dozen carries where I thought he's going all the way on this one.
Yeah. And again, arm tackles, to his last point, 8 missed tackles in the first half, 7 in the second half. You can't have that.
And what an
And a lot of it is Derrick Henry just shedding people away.
Sure. And what an indictment of John Harbaugh that he abandoned Henry when they were in Pittsburgh.
Terrible.
What an indictment.
And our man down there in Baltimore, Rob Long, didn't he say because he doesn't like people who fumble, so he penalized. Well, you're penalizing your own team.
Yeah. That's a classic cutting off your nose to spite your face.
So they go from 13 carries to 24 carries, 11 more for Derrick Henry. And that, in the war of attrition, that's a killer.
Next.
Here's Greg in Youngstown.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You know, the problem I have with this team is you make and the team collapses like a house of cards. I think the team has gotten soft. I really have over the last few years. Any adversity this team says, oh, we're not going to win. We're not going to come out and play. I mean, I've got to hear one more excuse. We pay Highsmith $20-some million. We pay these guys big money. You have a couple injuries. Well, play better. I mean, you give too many excuses to a team, and when we go into a playoff game, we get destroyed. I mean, it's Tomlin, and they got to learn how to win games and not lose games. Like, Chuck Noll used to beat teams like the 49ers in 84 and the Oilers in 89. We were like big underdogs, and he figured out how to win a game. This team can't figure out how to beat good teams anymore. They just can't.
Bob, I can tell you this. Like I said, if they go into a game without three-quarters that are secondary, a compromise Watt and no Pickens, they're not going to win.
But it looks like they're all trending toward a return based on what Mike Tomlin said yesterday. Yeah. So if they all play, here's the thing, maybe to Greg's point with Kansas City, when you watch them, I've had so many people, and I know you've talked, people called you, they should have 6 losses. They're playing terrible. They haven't scored in the 30s all season long, and yet they're 14-1, which tells me a lot about how they know how to close out game and opportunity. It's not impressive based on what you expect from Kansas City, but they know how to do it.
Now, the unbelievably depressing part of all this is if I asked you 3 questions, who's going to be the most rested team in these playoffs? Kansas City. Who's trending toward becoming the healthiest team with guys coming
Kansas
back?
City.
Kansas City. And who's playing at home? Kansas City. And who has the best clutch quarterback? Kansas City. Whose kicker just came back?
Yeah, but he's been bad.
I know, but he's going to be good. He's going to be good.
And Tucker seems like he's back on track.
Yeah. It's really depressing to look at the AFC playoffs. But as far as Tomlin goes, yeah, I agree with you. And that's why, and this also gets back to keeping competing ideas in your head, because all a lot of people want to hear with sports talk, all they do here, there's a filter right on the edge of your ear, Bob, right in the ear hole there where you hear. And a lot of people have a filter. And whatever somebody like me or you says, it goes into there as everybody sucks or everybody's great. So I've been very careful with Mike Tomlin, for instance, on Hard Knocks, to say he's clearly the star of the show. And that has nothing to do with how great, good, or average of a coach he is at times. Win a playoff game. I've been very careful with Tomlin not to buy into this ridiculous overhyping of him that has occurred this season. Yeah, he got off to a great start. Let's see how the season finishes. Let's see how it finishes. Let's see if he has guys healthy and goes into the playoffs and they get blown out again. Let's see if that happens. I think so far, overall, he's done a pretty good job this year. Pretty good. With the notable exception of completely butchering a game against the Cleveland Browns that could come back to haunt him. But big picture-wise, win a playoff game. These people who go on nationally and talk about, oh my God, we're talking about one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, the job he's doing this year. See, I told you, told everybody in Pittsburgh how great he was. You still want to get rid of him. You still want to do this. You still not want to not extend him. He's the greatest coach ever. Win a playoff game. At least compete in a playoff game for the first time in 8 years. That's what I would say to those people. And I've tried to keep that balance all year, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely high time for that to happen. It's been too long for that, especially with some of these have been at home and they've been disasters from the get-go. You know, a lot of that is on player miscues and things that you would never expect like that first
snap. Would you agree that there's a radical overhyping of Tomlin?
Just as I think there's a radical undermining of Mike Tomlin. There's both. In other words, people want to just downplay everything that goes on with
him. Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. And sometimes the overhyping part comes from him, like on the great quarterback change, and it was great when he told, who was it who came to the press conference that night? Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
Where he said, that's why I'm highly compensated. No, you're highly compensated to win the biggest games of the year. And there are people going into junior high school now who have no memory of you winning a big game. None. So win one is what I would say.
Well, this should be the year to do it. Everyone seems to be trending back in terms of health. You got a quarterback who's experienced at this kind of a game.
I don't know. Are they trending back?
Well,
let's get to that. Yeah, let's get to that at the top of the
hour. I would say yes,
hour.
They are trending back.
All right. I don't know. A guy like T.J. Watt, I think you might
have. Well, I mean, he played, so I got to believe.
Is that the good news or the bad news?
Well, he played compromised. I think that's pretty safe to say based on his performance, but I mean, you get some time. If they should, that's all the more reason why I think they need to win this game. Give themselves a week where they don't have to play certain guys.
Let's
there's
talk
no
about
consequence.
That coming up about whether they were too risky or too conservative with their injured guys, or maybe a little bit of both.